This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik, and joining me today are Tina Camellia and Sharmila Gunnison. If you've just joined us, this is our brand new show happening at 2 p.m. from Monday to Friday, where we discuss a few local and international news to give you something to think about as you get through the afternoon. Our first story earlier was about the scientific journal Nature turning 150 this year, and we looked at some of the issues surrounding academic publishing. We turn now to our second story, but before we get to that,
we do have a Twitter poll going on, which asks you, have you tried a plant-based diet? Let us know at BFM Radio. You can also share with us your experiences on whether you've tried to go vegan or go on a plant-based diet. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So Tina, what's our second story about?
Yep, on New Year's Eve, The Guardian reported that record numbers have signed up to Veganuary and will try living on a plant-based diet at least for the month of January, in case you didn't get it.
Veganuary is
vegan January. Ah. Yeah. So a week into the new year, we want to take a look at why people decide to or not to go vegan.
We have spoken to a couple of people about this, right?
Yes. So let's listen to some of these opinions.
Yeah, I'm a vegan for maybe like half a year, yeah.
No, I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian. I've tried eating more vegetables. I am trying to eat more vegetables, but I find it quite difficult to do that sometimes, partly because growing up, I have often eaten meat, so it's kind of become part of life now. I know it's bad for the environment to eat more meat, especially red meat, so I'm definitely not eating a lot of that, but like chicken, for example, it's quite difficult to go off that. Potentially, I think it'll be easier to be a pescatarian than to be a vegetarian, but that's just my own opinion.
I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, but I do try to eat vegan once a week because I think it's great for the environment to at least just eat vegan once a week. Yeah, so that's what we do in our house.
Unfortunately not. I don't think I feel like a strong reason why, but it's more of like, you know, I just kind of enjoy like food how it is. Doesn't have to be meat, it's just like a balanced diet.
Unfortunately not. I just don't think it's worth putting so much effort into thinking about what to eat and all these things. It's just easier to just enjoy food.
No, haven't really thought about it. For all I know, health wise it's a good thing. Lots of fiber, vitamins and stuff. Very clean in fact.
No, but I've always wanted to try. I'll go vegan for 1 week and see how it goes. I think mainly because of, it could be health reasons. For me, I would say I would try to go vegetarian for health reasons.
No, it's not. I'm just a carnivore.
There you go. I think most people that we interviewed were carnivores, and yeah. Very, very few are vegans. But since the Veganuary movement started 5 years ago, participants' numbers have more than doubled each year, and a total of more than 250,000 people in 193 countries have signed up. And for various reasons, you know, some of them feel compassion for animals, some of them want to do something good for the environment, and many have health and religious reasons as well. Now, with vegan options becoming cheaper, more widespread and convenient, organizers of the initiative believe that this year, 2019, will be the year of the vegan. Rich Hardy, who is the head of campaigns for Veganuary, suggested that stark warnings from scientists about the environmental cost of meat helped persuade many people to consider veganism.
In May last year, scientists behind the most comprehensive analysis to date about the damage that farming does to the planet declared that avoiding meat and dairy products was the single biggest thing that an individual could do for the environment. Julia Jacobs spoke with the lead researcher, Joseph Poor, back in July on Earth Matters.
You did the study on 40 major foods. I mean, how did you kind of come to that number, 40 different types of foods?
So those 40 foods represent about 89% of our protein and calorie intake, so about 90% of what we eat. So that's all the major foods, including things like beef, pork, chicken, poultry, meat, tofu, beans, peas, and that type of the proteins, milk, soy milk, tomatoes, different types of vegetables, grains, potatoes, other root vegetables, coffee, cocoa. All your main foods that we consume, and it's quite striking, you know, globally, we get 50% of our calories just from four crops. So
insane, isn't it?
it's incredible. So actually only 40 products which are providing 90% of our food is quite, you don't have to look at that many products to really basically represent everything that we eat.
Okay, so now walk me through the findings, which I know a lot of my meat-eating friends are very, very, displeased about. What were some of the things that shocked you, from your findings?
What immediately struck us was how variable environmental impacts are, both within and between products. So for staple foods, say rice, a high-impact farm can create 700% more greenhouse gas emissions per serving than a low-impact farm.
Mm-hmm.
So just for a pint of beer, a high-impact producer is creating 400% more emissions and air and water pollution and using 500% more land than another. So you've got these really big differences.
Wow,
one product that really stands out is beef.
Mm-hmm.
On land use, a high-impact beef producer is using 750 meters squared of land per kilogram of beef. A low-impact producer is using just 15 meters squared. So it's not a 10% difference or a 50% difference. It's a 4,900% difference between these producers. And we see this high variation in environmental impact in almost every product we assess and on every indicator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to put it really simply, two products that look exactly the same in the shops can have dramatically different impacts on the planet. And today, we don't really have a way of knowing this when we're deciding what to eat.
Even the lowest impact meat and dairy products, they still cause more environmental harm than even the least sustainable vegetable and cereal growing. Am I right? Is that in essence?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you get all this variability in these products, but that variability fails to translate into animal products with lower impacts than substitute vegetable equivalents per unit of protein or per kilogram. So even if you wanted to go out to the shops and try and buy the most sustainable meat production, the sustainable dairy, or the most sustainable eggs that are on the market today, the impact of them is still going to be higher than a vegetable equivalent. And that's the same for milk and soy milk. You go and buy the lowest impact soy milk, dairy milk available on the market, you're creating two times the greenhouse gas emissions and using two times the amount of land as soy milk.
Well, that was Joseph Poor, the lead researcher behind the study that suggests that giving up meat and dairy in our diet could be the single biggest way to reduce our environmental impact. You can listen to the full podcast by looking up veganism on our BFM app.
Just very quickly to go through the terms, because there's a lot to unpack here. So vegans, they exclude all animal-derived ingredients. That includes in diet, clothing and all products, even if the products don't contain animal products in the finished process. Now, you have vegetarians who exclude animal products just in their food. You have some religious-based vegetarianism like Buddhist vegetarianism who also abstain from pungent roots like garlic and onions because they excite the senses.
Mm-hmm.
You have lacto-ovo vegetarians who eat eggs and dairy products, pescatarians who abstain from all meat except fish, and there are other subsets that include raw vegetarians and vegans, which is taking it to quite an extreme. Also, you have flexitarians who are occasionally vegan and or vegetarians but are flexible about eating meat when there's no plant-based option.
Like all New Year resolutions, sticking to veganism can be tricky. Here are some tips and tricks. You don't have to start with veganism. You can start small by going flexitarian or vegetarian first. You can start with eliminating one meat at a time. For example, you can start with eliminating red meat and then poultry. Mm. Our friend Juliet Jacobs calls herself a chickitarian. She only eats chicken. So you can do that. You can choose one or two days of the week to go vegetarian or vegan. For example, meatless Mondays, fleshless Fridays. That's what I do, actually. You can choose one meal a day. For example, every weekday breakfast has to be vegetarian. And it's not just your food. You can consider changing your beauty products, changing the kind of clothes that you purchase, and other products, toiletries. There are a lot that are plant-based now, so you can opt for those. So basically, start small, and it's never too late to try again if you failed in the past.
Yeah, it's January. It's Veganuary.
In Veganuary. I hope that's how I'm supposed to say it. But in reality, as someone who has struggled with this question, and I still continue to struggle with it, how feasible is it to be vegan or vegetarian in Malaysia?
I don't think it is impossible because I've done it for several years in my university days, and I did it mostly because I was never into meat. I was raised, and this is my grandmother's story, as in, like, one day when I become a grandmother, I'm going to retell this story over and over again, that I was raised, I grew up in a convent. So basically what we ate every single day was rice porridge with soy sauce. Mm-hmm. So I never developed, never acquired a taste for meat anyway. So it was so easy for me to not, you know, want meat in my meals. And because I come from a small town, when the first KFC brunch opened, everyone wanted the fried chicken. Mm. I only wanted the mashed potatoes. You know, that's that's how much I don't have a liking for meat. Yeah. But eventually, I just decided that I am going to be rather flexible about it. If there's an option to go vegetarian, I'll go for that. If there isn't, I'm not going to stress myself out with it. So I don't think it is impossible. If you go to the Mama, the nasi kanda, there are a lot of vegetable options. So possible.
Yeah. I think that's because we live in a multicultural society where you do have communities that do practice vegetarianism as part of their religion, Hinduism.
Yeah, so I was raised in a vegetarian family. Mm-hmm. So actually for me, the leap is not so much to vegetarianism. I sometimes, I suppose inadvertently, am vegetarian for, you know, weeks at a time. Primarily because I can eat a lot of things. Like you said, you can eat vegetables. There are lots of, even in Western food or Chinese food, there are options you can eat. But vegan for me is a bit of a leap. Primarily because growing up in an Indian family, especially a vegetarian Indian family, we ate a lot of dairy. Mm. And, you know, dairy is also one of those things I think we associate with a lot of comfort food and with desserts. And I think for me, actually, veganism is more difficult than vegetarianism. And I wonder whether there are other people out there who perhaps for them that's a challenge as well. Like, it's a lot easier to give up meat than it is to give up milk.
Yeah.
Because milk is in everything when you think about
indeed.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Our breakfast, our lunch, our dinners.
Yeah. And the point is that it's hard to replace milk as a high quality, nutritious food product.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know some of us struggle with the idea, this trend of veganism being imposed on us as a sort of mainly Western-driven idea, where the types of foods that you do, that you eat, and the ideas of it are not necessarily accessible by many of us. Mm.
Yeah, I can't convince my mom that, you know, drinking soy milk with her morning coffee is as good as drinking regular milk. And that's just, you know, because it's not something that's in her culture and in her practice to do, for instance, right?
Well, I don't think we should guilt trip anyone into, you know, going vegetarian or vegan. I think the idea should be free and easy. If you have a plant-based option and it's tasty, go for it. If not, don't stress yourself out, really.
And I like the idea of thinking about it at least to the extent of once a week. Or perhaps this meal, I can choose to have something plant-based. Because it you know, the psychological change is something that happens slowly as well. The more you enjoy it and you realize it's doable, the more you'll do it.
Yeah.
And, well, I'd like to plug our own BFM Health and Living events, because we always have plant-based options just to be, you know, inclusive towards those that have different dietary preferences.
And I just want to bring up Davina Goh, who was, she posted, and actually Sharmila mentioned this before we started our show today.
Because I saw her on Facebook. Yeah, that's right.
About her attending a sustainability-based or sustainability-themed event, and how that event didn't offer many plant-based options. So we spoke to Davina. She is a performer and plant-based lifestyle advocate, and here she is sharing her views as a vegan in Malaysia.
Hi, I'm Davina Goh. I also go by Davina the Vegan, and I'm a plant-based lifestyle advocate in Malaysia. One of the biggest tips I would give anybody in Malaysia to be more plant-based is to really keep your mind open about it. I find that the bigger problem here is not the diet itself, but the mindset towards it. So really, keep your mind open about embracing and celebrating the entire spectrum of fresh produce that Malaysia has. I find that Malaysia is actually one of the easiest countries in the world to go vegan because we have this beautiful plethora of fruits and vegetables. We have green produce all year round. We have beautiful fruits that the West is envious of and always has high demand for, like durians and jackfruit and mangosteens. So I think it will really help to exploit all that. Another tip from me is to really take your time into your transition, because the last thing you want to do is to shock your system with an entire 360-degree transformation in your diet that will give you nasty withdrawal symptoms, perhaps, and might even put you off from trying out completely. So really, do what you need to do to make you feel comfortable into easing yourself into the diet. Maybe start off with meatless Mondays, maybe even if that's a little bit difficult for you, maybe go meatless once every 2 weeks, maybe cut off a little bit of meat every single meal. Whatever works for you, just go for that. And then once you're more comfortable with that, then you can graduate into plant-based lifestyle. And if it doesn't work out for you the first time around, no problem. No one's going to be judging you, and just keep trying when you feel you're ready to do it again. Another tip is to start cooking more meals at home so you're more in control of what you eat. And there are plenty of online resources for you as a Malaysian to introduce yourself into the plant-based lifestyle. There are a couple of groups on Facebook that you can join, and everyone there is really supportive. It's not a vegan-only zone. Anybody who wants to go more into the plant-based lifestyle is welcome, and we are very supportive, we are very encouraging, we give tips, we have meetups, so feel free to join us whenever you wish. And, of course, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. You can check out my website, www.davinadavegan.com, where I try and make Malaysian plant-based living as accessible, as affordable, and as fun as possible. So I take Malaysian recipes and I veganize them, or I take international recipes and I reinterpret them using fresh local produce. And I also have videos where I show you around the greatest places to eat vegan food around Klang Valley and beyond, and also some green living tips. So all the best in going more plant-based this year of the vegan, and here's to a healthier Malaysia.
That was Davina Goh, a performer and indeed a very enthusiastic plant-based lifestyle advocate. Again, her website, www.davinadavegan.com. You can also look up Veganuary Malaysia on Facebook for more resources on making the switch to a plant-based diet.
So do let us know about your own experiences on trying to go vegan. Have you tried a plant-based diet? How did it go? Did you fail? Did you succeed? If you failed, will you try again? We have a Twitter poll going on at BFM Radio, which we will revisit tomorrow to give you at least a few meals between now and then to talk about whether you attempted going vegan. Mm-hmm. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Speaking of sustainability in the environment, Earth Matters is coming up after the 3 p.m. news bulletin, where Juliet Jacobs will speak with Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail, the CEO of the National Water Services Commission, or Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air Negara, better known as SPAN, about water conservation and how we need to take this natural resource more seriously. But before that, here's Ham and Eggs by A Tribe Called Quest, which is not what you think it's about. And this has been The Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Eek,
Tina Carmelia,
and Sharmila Ganesan.
If you missed any part of the show, look up the podcast on our BFM app. You can also find us on Facebook. And we'll be back again same time tomorrow on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.